Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
We'll go to Galatians 5. You know, it's like being between two things here because there's part of me wants to go to Hebrews and part of me wants to go to here to Galatians 5. So I guess we'll start in Galatians 5 and see what happens from there. Galatians 5, verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Now, I know in Galatians what's going on is Paul is writing to the Galatians about how, you know, they've begun in the Spirit, they received the Lord, they've begun in the Spirit, and then there came Jews that were trying to teach the law and being saved by the law and not by the grace and the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, I know none of us here in that sense practice the law and these kinds of things, but in the same sense, I mean, the fact that yet the struggle of being tied to the bondage of this flesh in this world is very much there before us and very real. Okay, that can be very, very much the case. Now, it's amazing to me is because, look, man, we can start off, man, when we hear that good news, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I know that for myself, man, you start off, it's like a joy, overwhelming joy, and there it's like you're in this bubble and nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. I mean, it's just, you're in this place of joy and peace, and the joy is thy salvation, as, you know, David talks about in his prayer in Psalm 51, just comes upon you. And then it's amazing because as you go out into the world and you can go out and you can even see it in the other churches where they're not practicing the Jewish law, but they do got this list of do's and don'ts and this all this other garbage and nonsense that is not of the Lord, that you're trying to sit there and be pleasing as pleasing to the Lord in this flesh, and you can't. And you can't. And what gets highlighted to you, as you move forward in the sense of if the Lord's working with you and by His Spirit, He goes to highlight these things that are not of Him unto you. And it's something that is all just vanity. It's all not of Him. It's all just garbage and nonsense. Trying to live up to these lists of rules and judgments of your own mind or somebody else's mind or something that somebody else put on you. I mean, it's just nonsense. I know, Brad, for an example, the Lord's been working with you on these things. I mean, some of your own judgments in your own mind and these lists of things, trying to make a fair show in the flesh and all these kinds of things are being exposed there before you, saying, that's not of the Lord. Let it go. Don't be entangled with that. And quite frankly, when you're entangled with that, I don't see joy in you. I see misery. I see complication. I see disgruntledness. I see overwhelmingness. I see everything not of what the Lord has for you is sitting there resting upon you. And it's that old man. And so why desire that? I mean, here it is. The Lord has set us free from the yoke of bondage, from the chains of this flesh, from the enemy. So why do we get entangled in the garbage therein? Why? Now, I know when the Galatians here, they've begun in the Spirit. Okay, they begun in the Spirit. But then when the Judaizers came, I guess that you would call them, I don't know if that's even a word. But when they came and started putting off those list of rules of do's and don'ts and the trying to establish their righteousness by the law, Paul's going, what are you doing? What are you doing? Alright, but we're going to carry down a little bit. Behold, where was I at? 3. Alright, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Look, man, I mean, it's not that you can just do a piece of the law. You can take out this piece, this piece, this piece, and then do it. No, if you're trying to live by the law, you're a debtor to do the whole thing, which you impossibly cannot do. Because then you gotta turn around and go to the temple and do sacrifices and all these things, and you can't do it because the temple's not there anymore. Remember, it got destroyed. So it's even made known that you can't even do it, which is kind of amazing to me in that sense. So you're not even capable of doing it. So why even live by that? Or in other words, why do you yet try to live yet by those list of do's and don'ts or by the judgments of your own mind that the Lord has nothing to do with? Why? It is nothing but bondage, is it not? Trying to just check off the box, check off the box, check off the box. Man, it's just an overwhelming list that just means nothing. Instead of just faith and love in Christ Jesus, which is so relieving and freeing. I remember talking to others past week, and the week before, about the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. The thing that is put down there in front of you do wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not unto men. And you sit there and you go serve the Lord, and there is nothing else on your radar but that which is in front of you to do. It's an amazing thing, and the freedom that you have, because the thing that's going to come afterward, not your problem. The thing that came before that, not your problem. The thing that you're looking at right then and there, that's what you do heartily as unto the Lord. What is his commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So loving the Lord with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength is that you're engaging in the thing that is set before you wholeheartedly, without distraction. You're single-minded on that thing. You're focused on that thing. And the freedom that you have is you don't have to be entangled with anything else but just that which is in front of you. And what's amazing, that thing that happens is that the Lord shows up and he inhabits that. And then all you can do is he does a wonder abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And whereof you have the glory, you don't. You just say, praise God, that is amazing. Thank you, Jesus. It's amazing how he works, because see, yet your confidence is not in yourself or how you're going to be able to handle that situation or any of those things. No, you're constantly lifting that thing up unto the Lord, and you have a confidence in what the Lord is able to do in that. See, that is faith and love. See, that is faith and love. And it's an amazing thing, because it's a very freeing thing as well. Because there you're not trying to rest upon your own skill set. You're not trying to rest upon your own ability. You're not trying to rest upon anything. You're solely resting upon what the Lord is able to do and what he's able to accomplish through you. And by his Spirit. See, by that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's what you rely on. See, it's very easy. I mean, we can say we love the Lord, praise God, hallelujah, we love you, Jesus. Yes, we believe that we're going to go be with the Lord, that he's going to raise us from the dead and all these things, and we could sit there and say that now, but then we sit there and we stumble. We roll around on the ground. We absolutely fall flat on our faces for the smallest matters that are before us right here today in the now. So you're really just fooling yourself if you really think that, if you really believe that he's going to raise you from the dead. You're going to have the faith for it that he's going to raise you from the dead. If you don't, you can't believe him for the thing that's in front of you right then and there. Right? I mean, how ridiculous is that? It's pretty doggone ridiculous, isn't it? It is. But praise be to God, because he is well able. And he's proven himself to be what? Yet faithful time and time again. And see, that's what we rely on. But he's not going to inhabit the unbelief. He's not going to inhabit the unbelief or the works of the flesh or the checking of the box therein. He's not going to inhabit that. Why would he? Why would he inhabit the thing that will send you down to the ground? Why would he inhabit that old man that you're sitting there trying to do the works of the flesh and make your flesh all pretty and check in the box? Why would he inhabit the unbelief? Why would he do that? He wouldn't. And the reason why he won't is because if you listen to down to that and go down that path and down that road, see, that's the road to hell and destruction, folks. So what does he want you to do? He's a loving father. He's perfect. In him is light and there's no darkness at all. So look, he's not going to reward that or inhabit that because that's going to lead you down to hell. And he doesn't want you to go down to hell. That's not our father. But yet we have free will. We can go down that road if we want. But he's paved a way, so why would we? And then why would we be yet entangled in that yoke of bondage yet again? Because quite frankly, not just hell and destruction at the end of the path is quite freaking miserable, but then and the now is quite freaking miserable to me. I don't know about you, the most freeing thing I ever had was when the joy of the Lord came upon me and he forgave me for all the things that I've done and he became my Lord and Savior. That is the most freeing I have ever had and I've ever felt. It was, look, man, I looked all my life for, you know, drugs to make me feel good, filling up that hole. Nothing could satisfy. No, nothing could satisfy. It just keep wanting more and more and more and more, and that is the flesh. It does not satisfy. But when the Lord forgave me and he filled me, oh, I was satisfied. Oh boy, was I satisfied. Now, why would I want anything else than that? Get amen from Linda. Praise God. Why? Stupid of me to even chase after those things. But as stupid is, stupid does, and sometimes I follow after those stupid things. And then I go, I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. Lord, I repent of this nonsense and this garbage and this unbelief and chasing after the things that are not even of you, that don't even matter, that not even important one bit, that is not even on your radar. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Here I am. Use me. Here I am to serve you, Lord. Show me what is it that you would have me do, Lord. What is it that you would have me engage in? And you go about and you go about trusting him and serving him and believing him because he will. Look, if you come from that repentant heart, he's a loving father. You come from that repentant heart and come from that aspect, don't you think he'll answer that prayer? See, we ought to ask those things that we know he'll answer. Lord, strengthen me to do thy will. Lord, drive me with your spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and the same spirit that drove Jesus in the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. You trust that he would drive me, Lord. You ask the Lord to drive you with that same spirit to the accomplishing of what? His will. Don't you think he'll answer that? Because quite frankly, I like that a lot better than actually knowing. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, show me what it is that you would have me do. Lord, show me these things. You know, I like, you know, Lord, no, just drive me to the accomplishing of the will. Because if I know, I might run away absolutely terrified and not get out of bed that day, call in everything else and tap out. No, that is way too big, Lord. Are you kidding me? It's amazing how that works. It really is. But anyways, let's move forward. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor circumcision, but faith which worketh by love. But faith which worketh by love. I remember, and I believe it was Davey that was talking about this one time, where that it's like love is the booster of the faith, of his faith in your life. And so it is. Because when I see the things, when I'm about loving the Lord thy God, and when I'm about loving thy neighbor as thyself, it's amazing that how his faith gets induced in that. And look, Brad, you were saying earlier, for an example, that you have, you know the Lord is well able to do this or well able to do that, but will he? And he, you can believe for them, but you have a hard time that he will for you, for an example. But look, man, what if you focus that onto being about loving the Lord thy God and loving thy neighbor as thyself? And what I mean by that, look, man, if you know the Lord is able to do that with them, or with them, well then look, you go minister that in the hope for their sake. You go minister that by the hope and for their sake. Look, and then you trust the Lord to be able to minister through you for them. And see, when it's all about the Lord and it's all about others, thy neighbor as thyself, where is you in the equation? None. And then you can start watching the Lord to do abundantly above that you can ask or think right before your eyes. And then you come to the realization, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But sometimes you come to the realization of the Lord doing a mighty work amongst you and working in you. And you go, wow, that is amazing, Lord. Absolutely. You can use an idiot like me to minister unto somebody else. That is amazing. Praise you, Lord. You're awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is absolutely a miracle. And then you can go around testifying of that. Man, the Lord used my sorry behind. Guess what? He can use yours. All right, but some of you are just too offended that you're sorry behind. Well, get over yourself. You are. Christ came to die for what? The ungodly. What did Jesus do? I mean, look, man, he came to eat. You know, he says, why are you eating with publicans and sinners? And he goes and tells him, look, man, just escaping me right now. Where is it? But what he talks about, he's like, oh, what? I mean, the righteous don't need saving, but the unrighteous are one of the words. And the truth of the matter is, they're all unrighteous. It's just the Pharisees didn't know it. So don't be a Pharisee and know it. It's okay. Laugh at you, old man. But Christ is good. He loved me anyways. And that's the thing that I say, hallelujah, praise God. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth. A little leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty. I'm sorry, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by what? Love, serve one another. Now I want to go highlight this is because look, back then, I mean, he suffered persecution. Why? Because the Jews wanted to kill him because he said the righteousness wasn't by the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And look, that offended the Jews. That absolutely offended the Jews. And it offended Paul at one time. He went to go and persecute Christians until Jesus Christ knocked him off his high horse. But look, you really don't, it's same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I mean, you look at today, the fact that, man, you need Jesus Christ because you're a sinner. The big offense is what? That you're a sinner. Is it not? I mean, why do I need Christ? I'm not a sinner. Isn't that what you run into? I'm good. Are you really? Well, what about this? I can't say the words right now that are coming in my mouth. I can, but I'm choosing not to. Let me try to edit this somewhat. Oh, man, get out of my face, man. Slam the door. Close the door. Kick you out. Rejected. Persecuted. You're an evil man. You're of the devil. All these things, right? Just because you're saying, hey, man, you need a sinner. You're a sinner, and you need grace. You need Jesus. That's amazing. There's no difference that it is now than it was a long time ago, is there? There's no difference in the law and then people coming in for you to be saved. You must do this checklist. Is there no difference in that? No, there's no difference in that. And yet the big thing is in your own mind. Don't have that stupid checklist in your head and going, check, 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 check. Because that ain't going to save you. It never will. It never has. It never would have. Never. I mean, the whole point of the law in itself was showed you that you need grace. You can't do it. And you need Jesus. And quite frankly, that checklist is something I cannot keep up with, and I'm not going to even try or pretend to. Forget that. That's an overwhelming bunch of crap that I do not want. But I do want the liberty in Jesus Christ. I do want the freedom from this old man that is constantly trying to put me in bondage and in fear and in the bounds of this world. I want freedom of that. I want you to have freedom in that. I want others to have freedom of that. Because I was bound to it. Maybe not in that same sense, but I was bound to drugs, the lust of the flesh. I was all entangled into it. That was my life. But the Lord set me free. Praise be to God. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amazing. Now, didn't we read not too long ago, and we've probably read in times past before, is that there's no love... no other love than this, that a man, what, laid down his life for his friends? And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I ask of you. And he talks about how, so that your joy may be full. Look, if Jesus Christ died for me and gave himself for me, and that is the definition of love, and he laid down his life for his brethren, I ought to be in that same place to lay down my life for you guys. And not just in the sense of this, man, just like, you know, taking a bullet, although that at some point that might be the case, I'm not sure. But no, you talk about when you go to Romans 12, sitting there, you're ready to suffer for your brother's sake. Love them while they might judge you, hate you, whatever the case may be. You're willing to tell them the truth and them hate you for the rest of their life or whatever the case may be. But you choose rather to love them, tell them the truth, and love them with Christ's love. See, isn't that laying a part of laying down your life? Being that, what, living sacrifice? Because it's all about the Lord. And it's all about his body and edifying the body there. And if he is willing to lay down his life for me, what is it that I lay down my life for y'all? I mean, see, that's the same love that he's talking about. Now, I tell you what, I cannot love you in this flesh. I'm absolutely 180 degrees from it. See, in my flesh, I want nothing to do with you. I want to run away from any problems that you come at me with because it's something I really don't want to deal with. I don't want to deal with your judgments or your issues or whatever stumbling thing that you have in the flesh. I don't. I tell you right there, I want to live kind of like secluded in my own world, do my own thing. That's me in the flesh. I'm actually looking out for uno numero number one, that is me. And that is my flesh. Well, man, how can you be a preacher? Because I'm a sinner saved by grace, and that's the thing that saves me. All right, so look. But in the Spirit, by His faith, His love, I can love you with. And I don't know, but when I choose the Spirit and I choose that which the Lord has done and what then that new man that the Lord has given me that's untainted, unflawed, and perfect, I get a great joy to love the Lord and to love you guys. I get a great joy in it. But then yet I got this old man that when I would do good, what? Evil is present with me. And I can see that old man, that flesh rising up. And guess what? I gotta put him down. I can't give it any room. There's nothing about that flesh is good, folks. There's nothing about your flesh that is of any good, any consequence of any good. You gotta get to grips to that. You gotta understand that so you can absolutely put it off. You can't dress it up and make it perfect. You can't make it, it's never gonna be righteous. It never will be. So don't spend any time or any energy in doing just that. But rather, put time and energy and labor to what? Put off that unbelief and put off that old man. And to put him down and so that you can put on the new man. And that new mind. And don't be entangled with that yoke of bondage, that nasty carnal man that's trying to leap all over you at a constant pace. But put it down. Yea, the new man is far stronger, is far greater, and Christ gave you freedom from that. And how do you battle that? With His Spirit. Once again. Not in your own strength. You can get wore out. You're going to lose. Do it by His strength. His might. All right. Really trying to get to a point that I haven't even came across yet. Hopefully we'll get there. For all the laws filled at alright, 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. This I say then, this is it. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that is a load of lists. Now I tell you, those are like red flags. Now I know in the flesh, I see every single one of those things rise up. I do. I gotta battle them. I gotta put them off. I gotta cast them out. And I know that in this flesh, it's not gonna be that, these things aren't gonna come out of my flesh anymore. No. I just know that that's what it is. And I have a choice. I can choose to listen to that nonsense and to go down that road and entertain it. And I tell you, just entertain a little bit. Next thing you know, it's consuming you. It's taking over. I think it was just the other morning. It was like, man, things were all over me. I got in the Word. I read the Word. And I became free. Then I just gave that little moment, gave that little thing, just kind of playing with that thought and that idea. Next thing you know, it's consuming me. I'm like, what did I do that for? I'm stupid. Had to put that old man yet down again. There it was, free. It was like breaking forth out of the garbage and the bonds that were set there on my arms and my wrists. And upon my soul, really. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And get such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Look, which way are you going to follow after? That's the choice that you have there before you. You know, it kind of really reminds me, did you just throw up some fingers, Hope? 1 minute. We're going to go ahead and we're going to, next I think is Texas Service. Arizona doesn't have one. Well, I'm going to try to hurry up and wrap it up. All right, where is that? Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It very much reminds me of Romans 7 and Romans 8. Okay, Paul's going about that. Look, his flesh in this body. He's going to serve in the flesh. He's going to serve the law of sin, but with his mind, the what? The law of God. And that law of God is what Jesus Christ has done, where he covered and that righteousness was given unto him. It's a free gift. You're not going to be able to pay it back. It's given to you. Praise be to God. Whereof you have the glory? None at all. Of boasts, of works, none. It's all a free gift. It's given. Praise God. Receive it. Take it. Don't try to pay it back. Then you're starting to try to live after flesh and do the checkbox list. Forget it. It's a miserable existence. No, just receive the grace of the Lord and go walk in the Spirit, which he has freely given unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought of the things of this flesh. But there right before you, serve as unto the Lord and watch him move and inhabit that thing. There's another point in Hebrews that I really wanted to go with. Because look, I tell you what, the biggest thing that hangs us up and that really trips us up, and I'm going to go to Hebrews 4 real quick, is in Hebrews 4 where it talks about, I got to find it and go there, because I'd rather read it. In Hebrews 4, let us therefore fear, lest they promise being left of us, of entering into rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Who's the them here? Who is he talking about? Right now he's talking about the children of Israel that did not enter in the promised land. Why? Because of what? Unbelief. They would not believe God. See, they were all constantly looking at what they could do. They were constantly looking at their own strength. And they saw with their own strength and their own might that they were but grasshoppers to the land of the men that were in Jericho. They were but grasshoppers. That's what they saw according to the natural eye. And they believed that report instead of the promise of God that was before them, that that land was for them. Okay, your flesh is the same way. Your flesh is the same way. It looks on what it's able to do, what it's capable of doing. Trying to fill out that list, that checklist box. It can't. And it won't. The first generation could not. And it wouldn't have taken down Jericho by its own strength. Second generation did not take down Jericho by its own strength. And you can't do it in your flesh. You never will be able to. That's why Christ had to die for us. That's why Christ also had to give that promised land unto the second generation. Because they couldn't do it with their flesh. But the Spirit moved, I mean, by his might and by his power, the walls what? Came tumbling down. So it didn't profit them. Not being mixed with faith, the word that was preached unto them, not being mixed with faith. Look, I can go tell one person one thing that they're struggling with. I can have two people that are struggling with the same thing, and I've seen it. And one person, I tell them the same thing. The other person, I tell them the same thing. It'll be the two same struggle there before them. One receive it, get grace, then things start moving. The Lord starts working miraculously. And they're going, praise God, hallelujah. I get one and saying, oh, that turns around and walks in unbelief and says it's never going to happen for them. And they miss the blessing. Why? Because they just wouldn't simply believe. They were looking after the flesh and what it could see instead of the report and what the Word had said. Because the word that I was giving them was the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is true. The word of the Lord is true. Don't believe that carnal report. And the other carnal report and the snare that comes in amongst people is seeing how great things are going or how bad things are going. Let me tell you something. That doesn't matter. That's not a walk of faith. That is yet a walk of what? Sight. Because it's what? But you were talking about tribulation this morning. That tribulation is a crucible of where your faith in Christ Jesus gets strengthened. And that is far better and above anything that you could retain in this world. Far better that you can attain in this world. And that is what's important. So that tribulation, does that tribulation look like it's going good, it's going great, it's going wonderful? No, it's usually going, everything's messed up, screwed up, the wheels are coming off the boat, or the car, not the boat. Boat don't have wheels. But you know, it's coming apart. Well, praise be to God. Put your faith and trust in what He's able to do. And when He goes and puts something back together again, it is known by it was by His power and His strength and not by yours. And then wherever you have the glory, praise God. It's just another sign, example that you can say, hey, when somebody's else in that broken ship or that broken boat or that tribulation, you can go, hey, man, look to Jesus. Here's the way out for you. And what do they receive? They receive Christ. Is Christ the one that can save them? Yes, absolutely. Not you. So praise God. So believe Him, folks. Put off that old carnal man, that yoke of bondage, that checklist, that nonsense that you keep trying to look at. Quit trying to look on the outward things and see if you're all right. Are you justified? Stop it. Look at Jeremiah, thrown into prison. Beaten, thrown into prison. Can you imagine that? Steve just did a preaching on the peculiar people. Look at Paul, shipwrecked. Do you see Paul in a nice castle and, you know, Jerusalem there and riches upon riches and things are going just fine for him? No, he's beaten, killed almost a few times, shipwrecked. Went from place to place, was in hungers, was in stresses, was in all these things. And then what? The power of God rested upon him. And the gospel moved mightily. And the Lord inhabited the service that was before him, because that's what it took to what? Get people's attention to see that they need what? Christ. And so that Christ could be preached and that others may receive. See, the Lord knows what He's doing. We can trust Him. Stop working with that carnal mind and with their carnal outlook and believe in that report. It's no difference when the report came from those spies that sent out. They're saying they're giants and they're we but be grasshoppers. That's your carnal mind report. Stop believing it. Joshua and Caleb's report, it's a land good for our taking. See, that's the new man's report. That's the Spirit of God's report. Let's believe that, amen? Let's believe that. And so that nothing that comes down your way, man, you are trusted and grounded in faith and love in Him. And it's all going to be praise and to the glory and to the honor of what He can do and what He has done. And that's what needs to be lifted up, folks. That's what people need to see. That's what they need to attain. It ain't about you. It's about Him. So let's go be about Him. Amen? All right, with that, I'm done.